Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
After an international break that included nations trying to ban club players from adhering to COVID rules, military calls, VVD playing with our heartstrings, pretending he's injured, it's finally time to get back to the real stuff. Welcome to Hollywood. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Carnage. Why are you doing that, Avi? Is it? Have we actually?
I think I've perfected it. I think I've perfected it after a month. That was smooth as it can be. So I'm happy with that.
We might as well call it a night because that's perfection. I think you've actually smashed the intro for the first time. Brilliant. On Carnage. It's amazing. It's a great feeling. But yeah, listen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, Carnage. It's great. It's great to be back, to be able to talk about real football, man. Premier League football's back after what seems an amazingly long international break. And with me tonight to talk about the massive, massive games, I've got two brilliant mates who happen to be Leeds fans. Welcome, Joe and Oscar. How are we doing, boys?
Good, man. We were just saying how smooth that intro was, you know. The way you did that, I was like, oh, this is a bit low-key. And then it went boom. I was like, yeah, love that.
Joe, you don't know how much effort and practice that's gone in. Like, Gav does it, like, with his eyes closed because it's three buttons, right? But me and him, like, dumb and dumber, right?
It's speak for yourself.
Speak for myself. It's a nightmare, I'm telling you. But good to have you guys on board, man. How's things, man? I know me and Joe have done bits together. Oscar, is it the first time me and you have done anything together?
No, it's only last season.
We've done a Friday night preview. Yeah, before. Yeah, we have. We have.
He's not left a lasting impression, has he?
No, he has, because that's why when I thought about Leeds Liverpool, used two of the first names that popped in my head. You know, I thought to myself, Joe and Oscar, and they come as a double act, it seems. How's things? Before people start before people start asking, you know, the settings and everything. What are you guys up to? Let us know. Where are you guys at right now?
Yeah, we're in Leeds City Centre. We both live outside of Leeds. We're doing the Yorkshire Free Peaks for charity for the Leeds United Foundation in the morning. It's a 12-hour walk. How many miles is it?
26 and a half, I think.
Yeah, 26 and a half. We leave here, 5:30 start. We'll be finished at like 7:30, 8:00. So it's a long slog. So we've got a hotel in Leeds for the night, and then we're setting off early doors in the morning. They did have a double bed, but I went down
trying to make sure that there were two singles. Nothing going on.
Yeah, I said let's change this. Let's change this because I didn't fancy top and tailing, mate. So yeah, but that's why we're here. So if you can, please do donate. It's for a great cause.
And that's the link, isn't it, Joe, just before we... Yeah, but justgiving.com/fundraising. / ALTV fundraiser. Got it.
So, baby, like Laura Duffy says, it's essentially a marathon, right? Because and so you must have been in training for a little while to do this. Like, or are you naturally fit like me? Like, get up and just go. Like,
yeah. Well,
you must.
It's your secret. We're natural physical specimens. Here.
I should have known. Yeah,
you can see. Do you know what?
I'm one of them guys who's all gear, no idea. So literally, I've brought walking poles. I've got a bag. Like he's bought bottles from Tesco, and I've got one of the bags that's got the thing with the drinking and
the little hats and stuff like that. You can put like beer cans on either ear, can't you? And then you start while you're walking. Yeah, got it. Yeah.
So, how many of
plasters and all sorts? I'm the guy. You know what I mean?
How many of you is participating then?
I think about 20, Grizz. About 20. There's going to be about 6 or 7 from all East TV and Joe. We've got Jermaine Beckford. And just Joe. He'll have a go at me for that in a second. Jermaine Beckford is also taking part.
Tony okay.
We've got, two Leeds legends.
Victor Orta. So I'm hoping I can get into him to find out what went wrong in the transfer window, to be fair. So we'll see if he'll...
That's
a great way to start the conversation.
You're not the only cub that's concerned about that. We might touch upon it. I'm hoping not to be bombarded with sort of disastrous transfer window chat for both clubs. But someone said that the CBD is kicking in for Grizz, and that's a brilliant segue to our sponsors. It's not kicking in yet because I haven't taken it, but obviously, as you guys know from last week, we have some amazing sponsors on board now. I'm not going to lie, the proof's in the pudding. You have to, you have to try it to see it, to believe it. Are you guys, first, and I need to ask you guys first, because I ask every guest, are you guys, have you tried CBD oil stuff?
I don't want to get myself into CBD oil. I'm thinking of...
Say it.
Yeah, you can say it.
This is carnage.
You're on about the weed, right? Are we on about the same thing? I don't want to let my guard
down. No.
You're on the right show.
It's totally fine. Trying to apologize to my mother before we go on.
His face. Yeah. Avi, can you explain to them, please, In basic terms, like what we're talking about?
It's a company called EliteMe.com. They do CBD oil, CBD massage oils, CBD balms, which I've been using right now over here. I get, because of the heat, it gets like desert heat, so my lips dry up, but it's been fantastic. The balm, you can use it on your knees as well, on your back. I suffer from patella tendonitis, problem in my knees, and I've been using the CBD oil, the one that you use, Grizz. So 2 drops of that. I put that in my cereal, though, my Weetabix, every morning. And touch wood, so far in the space of like a month and a half, I've been able to run like 3K now. Usually my target is 5K, but I've been able to run comfortably on a treadmill as well and outside. So CBD oil, but I'm using the balm as well. So the balm is great. It's like a beeswax. It does meet all European requirements. So it's nothing illegal. It's all legitimate. You can go on their website. They've actually given us
Listen carefully, Joe. This is the bit I was trying to tell you to explain to Joe, but you've explained the whole thing. It's fine.
Brilliant. And they've given us a LFC 10, kind enough, for 10% off on all CBD products on www.elitemi.com. So the banners are up there. Please give them a go. It's great stuff. But the beeswax, we'll talk in depth next week about the CBD oil, but the beeswax, I can't glamorize it enough. It's absolutely great stuff.
I think Gosh was saying there, this would be perfect for recovery after the marathons.
Yeah.
I literally was going to say that, lads. Because it takes, because I've tried it for about 10 days now. And last week we had a bit of a laugh and a giggle about me trying to learn how to take it. Because all you got to do is 2 drops underneath your tongue. But
you should showcase it. maybe next week.
Yeah, for us, yeah. And Gav and the lads took the piss because I wasn't quite. What's the word? I didn't know how to sort of
describe really, the product.
Yeah, describe how to take it because I had issues with actually feeling the drop on my skin, if you know what I mean, lads. But we're not going to get into it again. What we do know, right? What we do know is fantastic. And I'm not joking, guys.
You've mentioned your sleep.
I've been sleeping like a baby for 10 days. Honest to God. It kind of just soothes you and relaxes you. And it's amazing. It's an amazing product. And so everyone needs to get over to... People say I always miss out a W. www.elitemead.com. Type in LFC10 for your 10% off all CBD products. I'm not joking. Try it and you'll be fascinated how brilliant these products are. Brilliant company as well. Thank you very much for that, Avi.
Just a quick one, Grizz. They've got a new line as well, CBD bath bombs, which you put in the bath. And if you want to have a bubble bath and whatnot for recovery, again, great stuff. What are they laughing at now?
These comments are brilliant. Like some guy said,
we won't put what Red Steve will put up. Yeah.
International smugglers. Someone said they're like them two girls in Peru.
Now listen, I see all these comments, but I ignore them.
Chris said it was okay.
Can you imagine playing Grizz when he sat inside in a Peruvian prison?
Something that I said about the CBD bath bombs until I saw Red Steve's comment, but we won't put it up there. But that's hilarious. Listen,
lads, I'm used to these comments. I usually ignore. You're probably not going to be able to ignore. You're going to crack up. But let's try and keep it a little bit professional because people go mad in here. Lads, it's fucking Leeds, Liverpool, packed Elland Road. Premier League is back. This, in my opinion, and obviously you need to tell us from your opinion, I think this is Leeds' most biggest game since they've come back to the Premier League, because last season was a non-entity as far as I'm concerned. Empty crowds, no atmosphere, no nothing. You came from a bouncing championship winning promotion, amazing atmosphere, looking forward to it. And then a bit of a damp squib with last season, right, lads? You must be absolutely hopping, looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. Like, this is what I've waited 16, well, what I waited now, what, 17, 18 years for. Because like you say, last season, this is all still new to us because last season we didn't get to experience it. The Everton game was good, but it's nothing compared to playing the big boys, you know. And that's what Liverpool are. Afterwards, you know, I'm not afraid to say this. You know, I said to my friend Sean, we go week in, you know, we're season ticket holders sitting next to each other. And I said, like, next time we're at Elland Road, bro, it's going to be Mane, Salah, Firmino, I said at the time, but obviously, or Jota, you know, all these big names, man. And that's what we want to be back for, right, Oscar? Exactly. We want to be back to play these names and show them how to get on week on week.
I remember we played Liverpool when we were in League One. It was the season we went up and you beat us 1-0, I think, in the game. And we played really well. And I was thinking to myself, I was just like, you know, seeing Elland Road, I think it's about 13, 14 at the time. Just remember seeing Elland Road and thinking on Tuesday night in the lights and thinking, I've never seen Elland Road like this for years, kind of thing. And then I think Torres came on, Gerrard came on. You're thinking, this is what you want. This is it.
This is big time for, yeah.
Next week, we're playing like Yeovil away or something. You're thinking, well, now it's kind of like, this is a regular thing now. Yeah, we're regularly playing. Like, I know, obviously, it's not Gerrard Torres. It's different players, but it's still the same thing. It's got that proper feeling. Just remember the shoes off if you hate Man U and all that lot. I mean, it's always a good atmosphere, isn't it? I mean, it's just bit of Man United bashing in the game as well. I'm sure there'll be a bit of that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Absolutely not, mate. But it's amazing, isn't it? Because we've got Leeds, Liverpool. We haven't got a rivalry like of hatred or anything. No. I find it mutual respect. And I think it's like, if there's such a thing, Avi, would you agree? It's like a friendly rivalry because, as we said, we've got the Man United factor in between that we love to take the piss out of. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And hate. Do you know what I mean? Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, and something that just while you guys were talking about Leeds and Elland Road, it's 20 years since Leeds 4-3 game when Viduka scored all four. So 20 years from there. And then I think there's a lot of respect as well because you remember when Gerard Houllier had his heart stuff, it was against Leeds. It was in that 1-1 game at Anfield, Grizz. So there's always been that sort of, I don't think it's ever been fierce because back then under David O'Leary, it was always Leeds United. You know, Leeds were really going for it with Peter Ridsdale. And we can come up to your ownership as well when they were used to, like, you know, challenge for the title back then. But it's always been good games. You know, we had a few FA Cup ties as well with Leeds. It's always been sort of, you know, it hasn't been a rivalry. There have been good games. There have been good high-scoring goals games. I think the only rivalry is when Joe's going to love me for this, but when Harry Kewell switched over for $5 million when he came over to Liverpool. He doesn't want to hear it. But, yeah, I think that was the only rivalry that I can think of. But, you know, usually they're really good games, home and away.
It's can someone in the chat, because obviously Avi hasn't done any research or homework, can you guys remember the last time we played each other in this fixture in the Premier League? Was it 2000 and...
Beat 2004.
Was when it they were 2004? Relegated. The Leeds-Liverpool, Wesler or Duffy when you needed...
I think it was a 2-2 game as well. I think Harry Kewell scored as well for us that game. Scored a nice left foot curler. Yeah, okay. I think it was 2-2. But Laura can... Laura will definitely...
I'm gonna really test you guys, right? Without Google, right, so I can see both of your hands, so you're not Googling.
Yes, yeah, I was right, Grizz.
You was right.
I'm not the time, mate. My memory's not. I'm not like
George, that. You need to get on the CBD or George. Joe, that's what you need to do.
Stop calling you George.
Joe, it's taking this effect on me. But guys, can you? How many players can you name from that Leeds team? Top of your memory, I know it's not quiz night, right? Well, but I'm just thinking.
Ian Hart was one of them.
Grizz, I don't want to remember some of these names.
Some of them are class.
Oscar. Ian Hart, Seth Johnson, Stephen McPhail.
We're talking 2004 time.
Well, who's your goalkeeper?
Nigel Martin.
Being Paul Robinson.
Robinson. Oscar's a hero, mate. Can you shut up for 2 seconds, Avi? Because like you're gonna.
Because right. I like Leeds back then.
It's not a quiz. Like, you're always trying to find me the quiz.
It's like Jermaine Pennant in that level of play.
Jermaine Pennant, yeah, well done.
Smithy.
Joe, you've got to participate, mate. You've got to think of one.
Clyde Weinhardt, was he there around?
I think it'd be... Cough.
Stephen McPhail was
Clyde Weinhardt. Like, he just wants to fucking name.
Dominic Mathieu was definitely there.
Yeah, another Liverpool league. Dominic Mathieu.
Viduka, Alan Smith, they were there.
Did Rocky Jr. play?
Who?
Rocky Jr.
Oh, yeah. No, Rocky Sun World Cup winner as well.
Gary Kelly.
See, now he's warmed up. See, I told you. Just need a bit of. Eric Backer. All right, I'll tell you your team. You had Paul Robinson in goal.
Dubery.
You had Paul Robinson in goal.
Yeah.
Your back four was Matteo, Didier Domi, Gary Kelly, and Stephen Caldwell.
Domi played for Newcastle. Good pass.
Hold on. Jermaine Pennant, Eric Backer, Seth Johnson, and your other stalwart midfielder, the legend himself, James Milner. James Milner. And up front, you had Viduka and Alan Smith. So you still had Milner, Viduka, Smith, the remnants of a
good rest team. Was awful.
We couldn't stop. We still scored. I mean, Viduka, I think, will still got a couple of goals in that team, but it's just
Gary Kelly. I remember being a very underrated fullback. I used to love watching Gary Kelly bombard. Coming in, Clever Clogs, you name their team, name the Liverpool team from that day.
Harry Kewell, that's one for you. Milan Baroš, did he play? I'm pretty sure he scored as well in that game. Goal, Jerzy Dudek in goal. Hippia, nope. Carragher, Henchoz. Did we have Salif Giao? I know he scored maybe the season before that, in 2002 actually he scored in. Grizz, I don't know. Gerrard.
Our team. Right, not much better than the Leeds one. Nah, it was decent. Chris Kirkland.
Yeah.
Stefan Oncho, Sami Hupia, Carragher, Finnan, back four.
That's not bad back four, Chris.
Amon, Gerrard, Kewell, Murphy, and then Baroš and Owen up front.
Yeah, Baroš. I remember Baroš playing that.
So that's the last time we met at Elland Road in the Premier League. I think we met after that. But look, going through the memories in terms of sort of the best memories of Liverpool and Leeds encounters, lads. What's your best memory of a Leeds Liverpool game, lads? Overall, it could be any competition and everything. What was your favourite game?
Got to be the Duker, I think. I mean,
I was going to say, what do you remember of that?
But I just remember my dad after that game. I think he got me a Viduca 9 shirt, I think. I sort of kind of remember from that. It was like, yeah, that was 4-3, but again, as a kid, so I don't really remember it. I mean, I remember I think we played each other in the League Cup. I remember going to Anfield. I have been to Anfield away.
Yeah, we went a couple of seasons.
Yeah, that was 2-0. Yeah, that's the one, Oscar, 2-0 when Trent made his debut, actually. Trent Alexander-Arnold made his debut.
Was it Hadi Sacko when he went through one goal?
No, Roof hit one from like 30 yards.
I thought it was Sacko.
Woodburn scored as well for us.
In Sacko.
In the League Cup. Was that the League Cup?
League Cup.
Yeah. It was a really good game. I think, did Alexander-Arnold play in that?
That was his debut game from right back, and Benjamin Woodburn scored his goal as well as a 16-year-old, yeah. I believe, in that game. Yeah.
No, I remember that. I think that was under Gary Monk. Would that have been? Under Gary Monk, that, I reckon.
No, TC.
Yeah, but it just shows you it's been a fair while. And look, obviously, you came back in the league last season, Premier League, and then the opening day you play us.
I was just going to say,
you come back in the Premier League, and who's your opening fixture against the champions themselves? Because we were the champions at that stage. And from what I remember of it, you left an amazing effect on everyone, I think. Everyone
thought that was the good thing. It's like we've arrived and now you know. I'd been talking us up.
Oh, you'd been talking them up, yeah.
And people were like, yeah, another chef, yeah, all this. And then we came and we showed what we were about, you know.
What? Look, this season's going to be totally different though, isn't it? And it has been sort of the crowds back. Because you're very much like us. In terms of the crowd, is probably the most emotional, one of the most emotional crowds around. Like, you guys can proper rev up an atmosphere and everything. How did you find the first game? How was it? How did you? Was you there? Did you guys go there?
Yeah.
How did you find it? How did you guys feel? Was it great to be back?
I think, yeah. Look,
it's a noise after that Rafinha goal went in, but it was unreal.
It was also as well, like, regardless of the result, it was just great to be back.
Yeah.
Whereas I think this one, I think it'll be more because it's more foot right. We've had our day, our first day back. Now let's start winning some games, and it's going to get a little bit more vitriolic towards the opposition and that I feel. Because I just think everyone was just on a high because it was like, oh, I haven't seen it. Like me and my friend were talking on the way down. There's a couple of old guys who sit in front of me where I sit. And we were saying like, what if John's not there? You know, there was that thing as well, you know, because of what happened with the pandemic. And that. It was just nice to be back. Whereas I think now it's like, right, let's get down to business. Let's win some games, you know. Let's show them what this support is about, you know. Because I think, because what I couldn't get my head around is why it wasn't shown. Why Everton versus Leeds first time, why is it not on TV? So it's a chance for the rest of the viewing public to also see the atmosphere this Sunday against what is another fantastic, huge, well-supported club. So I think the atmosphere is going to be amazing on Sunday.
Just before we carry on with Oscar's opinion on the things, Jamal, Abdul, thank you very much for the super chat. Says, love you, Grizz, and big up the panel. Grizz, rated you 90 minutes, big six, and amazing football knowledge. Thank you. You've helped me massively. Thank you for the content. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
Who have you paid for them to send that? Yeah, who have you bribed?
Yeah, thank you, Jamal. Don't give it up who you are. But no, I appreciate that. Oscar, you guys have sort of brought a philosophy and style of football that a lot of neutral fans probably didn't know could be played sort of through the Championship, brought into the Premier League, sustained, that the way you play, there's a philosophy, isn't there, to Marcelo Bielsa, that he's absolutely sticking with, rain or shine, whether you're on a losing streak of four or you're winning four, he knows how he wants his team to play. How have you found it in the Premier League, playing that same consistent style?
I mean, you've got to break it up, I think, last season into two parts, I think. I think the first part of the season was just some of the stuff we were playing. I think there was games against Newcastle, we won 5-2, we were scoring plenty of goals, but then we were letting in a lot of goals at the other end. We were letting in a lot of goals. Oh, the legend himself.
Yo,
the legend himself.
Let me just say, yo, Saeed, reach out. I rate you big time, man. And this is hard for me. Because he's a Manchester United fan.
I know. But he's one of the good. He's one of the good blokes. So shout out to Saeed. We actually, Saeed, I'm not gonna lie. These both of you were speaking very kindly of you
before the show
as well. Big up. But yeah, sorry, Oscar. You were saying?
Oh no, absolutely no problem at all. I mean, you know, first half of the season, I'm sure Joe will agree. We can see a lot of goals. Yeah. And we were getting criticised a lot. You know, Grizz, we were getting. I think every week there was some kind of criticism. If it wasn't Talk Sport, if it wasn't Gabby Abonlahor, all these different names are criticising our style, saying that, you know, it's all well and good scoring loads of goals, but if you concede at the other end and don't get the wins, it's pointless and that lot. And we always believed that we'd keep marching up the table. And that's what we did. Second part of the season, we just became really difficult to beat, as well as playing good football. You know, I think the big turning point was probably when we won at Leicester. That was the first time we kind of beat one of the big six.
Yeah.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
Yeah, I'm not counting Arsenal as big six, to be honest.
No, you can't. You'd be foolish too.
It's the first time, and then we went unbeaten against the big six. Yeah. You know, we had a run of games. We beat City away with 10 men. And I think, you know, to be honest, City fans won't admit it, but I think we actually damaged City's season a bit after that. I think City kind of went a little bit off.
Damaged the season. They won the league.
Yeah, they won the league.
But the initial start, he's right, because they lost to Leicester at home the following week, 5-2 or something, didn't they?
The reason City lost in the Champions League final is down to us.
Because of Leeds.
Marcelo Bielsa, if I may. And I'll bring it to Joe, Oscar Canan. This is his longest stint at club level now, isn't it, at Leeds? Yeah. 4 years for entering his fourth year.
Yeah, massive, and, like you said, by a long way. Yeah.
And the great thing about him, and, you know, this word gets bandied about a lot, philosophy, but he literally swears by his ethos. It's either his way or the highway. And, like, his way is the high-octane football, the high-pressurized football, and it does leave you exposed a lot as well. Is that something that, if you want to go to that next level, and I don't want to sound controversial here, but that next level, like, you know, entering that sort of top eight, top six, you may have to part ways with Bielsa because he is so sort of stubborn, but stubborn in a good way because he believes in himself. But do you feel that you might have to step away from that in maybe a year's time or 2 years' time to enter that next level? Or do you stick with him?
Oh, man, we never get rid of that man. Mm-hmm. Ever. Like, this is what I get it from other people from the outside looking in. But I've never, ever in my lifetime seen what this man dishes up for me on a weekly basis. I'll never forget the first game where we peppered Stoke and being at that ground. I remember pinching my friend. What's going on?
Is this real?
Yeah. No, serious. Like,
I know.
It was the same team as last season, bar one, a left back. And then the next game, we beat Derby 4-1 at their place. And I'm going, yo, this isn't a joke. This is actually happening. And it just went blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. There has to come a time where maybe pragmatism has to override. But we'll wait for that when Bielsa goes.
Joe, just to touch upon, and I know you got a super chat, Grizz, but just a quick one. With your transfer window this summer, I thought it was actually good that they brought youth. Amari Miller is a good player from Birmingham, a youngster, like I think 20 years old, and he's supposed to be a lightning quick. You brought Dan James, and then I think you brought Lewis Bate from Chelsea as well, a young midfielder that we were looking at. So do you think he's already planning for that next sort of step maybe, or do you think, you know, he's just at the moment worried about what he's got right now?
The club. They understand, like, there's no, like, secret about the Leicester model and us bringing in players for cut-down prices and moving them on for big fees. the fact that we can attract these names, like you mentioned, Lewis Bate, Amari Miller, it's a testament to what's happened, because what Bielsa's doing off the pitch is huge as well. Like, the infrastructure that's been built in and around Four Parts due to this man is just amazing. You know, he took no time off in the summer. He was overseeing the changes. Just little things that were alien to us, in that, you know, the training pitch resembles Elland Road's pitch. So it's the same, whereas that's probably always been the case at Liverpool. I don't know. But, you know, the club's just, it's stable, man. It's stable.
We act like a big club again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's happened after a long time, because you went through 3-4 ownerships as well, didn't you? Like, 3-4 ownerships before you got it right with the tenant?
I'll tell you a little story. I was at an event in Leeds. I was at an event in Leeds last night. Phil Hayes wrote a new book about Bielsa. And to give you an idea of what we went through, there was a guy called Cellino. And he liked to take narcotics. And this was the owner of our football club, by the way. And he would phone up the journalist at like 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, telling him he disliked this player, did this. He was always, and he went to Dubai to see GFH, who were the previous owners, who were probably the only rich Arabs in the world, and we managed to get them on in our the only skinned Arabs in the world that we managed to get
out of.
Yeah, exactly. We were like, Arabs, wow, and then they were skinned. And he came back from there, and he was supposed to do an interview with Phil here and Adam Pope, who works for the BBC. And they turned up, and he had a hijab on, shouting "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," dancing around the room. And this is the guy that owned our football club. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. You
know, he was wanted for things in Italy for non-payment of fines. Now, he was a crook. And these were who were running our football club. So now what we've got is just chalk and cheese, man.
It's a good feeling, isn't it? Because, look, we have spoken about the turbulence that you've gone through. You know, we'll come on to that. I just want to quickly get your opinions on this. Thank you for the super chat, Govinda. He says, Joe, would you consider Lucas Radebe to be one of the Leeds' best defenders in your EPO era? Also, is that a Constantine tattoo there, lad? Is right, mate.
Constantine.
What's that?
Is that a Constantine tattoo there?
Avi, what's that?
Have you got a Constantine tattoo? I
don't know myself.
I don't know.
What is Constantine?
I think you mentioned that. Isn't it about that film? Isn't it Constantine with the Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, there's a film in it. I have got my tattoos, but nah. If you're on about that, bro, that's Harry Potter.
wait till they see your it's a Bane one you've got, isn't it?
Yeah,
but we won't show. There you go. He's got quite a few there.
I don't know. Yeah, so maybe Govinda that sort of explains
Grizz, what currency is that? ZAR? It's not Zimbabwe, is it?
You're asking the wrong man, bro.
ZAR. Like, if someone can come, I want to know what that currency is.
I thought you'd know. Well, maybe Govinda can explain to us and tell us what Constantine tattoo is there, because Joe's into forget all that hard man image. He's into Harry Potter. He's just admitted.
Yeah, I love that.
Harry Potter.
Genuinely, I'm not lying, man. My kids love it as well, and I can't wait to go to the Harry Potter world.
I think Ant Dicko's described your ownership that you had. It was like our version of Hicks and Gillette. It really was. That's a mad story with what you told us. But ZAR is South African.
Apologies, huh? Nice to know.
Yeah.
Good.
But Oscar, like, you wouldn't want any other way, because I was doing a show the other day and someone asked me about Leeds and said there's this, I know Joe hates it, where people talk about sort of your naivety, and I know it's going to bug him, so I didn't want to go to him. I let him calm down a little bit, right? Because he's going to start getting mad. But this perception of Leeds being naive, this perception of Leeds not being tactically very astute, tactically very naive, and sort of running out of energy near the end of the season, it's total bollocks, right, Oscar?
Yeah, totally. I mean, as I said before, we went unbeaten against the Big Six. Yeah, it was the second part of the season. Yeah,
it was only Liverpool who had more points than us at the end, the last 10 games.
Yeah, last 10 games. I mean, last two seasons, we finished a lot stronger. I mean, season we went up, I think we won like 18 out of the last 20 or something mad. Like, we're on a mad run.
It's mad how people don't do their research. It's true, because that's the first thing we noticed about this Leeds team. And even without your crowd last season, it was, for me, I've never seen a team with such high levels of fitness.
That's it. I mean, you know, in terms of the way we play, I mean, look at when Klopp first came to the Premier League. I mean, everyone was talking about, wow, you can't maintain this. You know,
yeah.
I almost feel like it's like when the foreign managers come into this league, you know, even like Guardiola and that lot, it's always like, there's always like more criticism. Even if they do deliver the results and trophies and that lot, there's always still more criticism. And it's kind of like, there's no basis for it kind of thing. I mean, it's the same with Leeds. I mean, we've come from being 13th in the Championship, you know, to being like disappointed that we've started the Prem season quite slowly. This kind of sums it up, you know, how much progress we've made. 7 years ago, we had Forest Green's former manager managing us, Dave Ockaday.
Seven years ago.
That's all right. It was.
It's true, isn't it? It's true, Avi, because
well, you know, five, 6 years ago, we had Steve Evans managing us.
I know, Steve Evans.
More managers than you've had hot dinners, Chris, basically. Put it that way. Paul Hart as well. They've had a lot of managers.
You're just on the fitness thing. You just have to look at Calvin Phillips and see what he did in the Euro.
Insane levels.
Another player that goes under the radar, Luke Ayling, fullback. He bombs up and down. And it's great that Bielsa's done, like, even, and I've got respect for Stuart Dallas is a great player, good engine on him. Even like the likes of Liam Kupo's come in. Like, I know he's not as a regular anymore, but he comes in and does a job. And it's good that Bielsa still sort of sticks with that sort of, you know, that British sort of ethnic like players that he still, you know, believes in. Phillips, Bamford. Bamford's come a long way. You know, he was banded about on loan from Chelsea.
England's but look, number nine now.
He's found a club. He's found someone who'd give him a little, you know, arm around the shoulder, and look, you know, he's blossoming. So it's good to see with Leeds.
But bringing it to the recent team, and we've talked about the past and the memories and your ups and your downs and everything, and the excitement factors. Now, bringing it to this current team, Joe, from a Liverpool point of view, give us an insight into sort of the way you're set up this season. Is there any difference from last season tactically? Because we know in the transfer window you decided to just leave it as it is, like us, right? I think you brought in James, the only one.
James. No. We brought in a new left back, Junior Firpo from Barcelona.
Of course.
Alioski went, where did he go? Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Club now.
But Leeds wanted to keep him.
Probably playing for the Arab that you saw dancing around.
No, Ali Alil.
That's a weird one. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
He's a new player, no?
All about that tax
free money, though.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There was no way Leeds were going to pay him what he was getting offered elsewhere. So he went. We'd have still brought in a left back anyway. So we brought him in. We needed a centre midfielder. I get hammered by Leeds fans for mentioning this. They think I've got like pictures of him on the wall, but we missed out on Conor Gallagher. He was done. And then Palace came in, and then he just went. For a month, we were left on tenterhooks, and then he moved to Palace. And I know he's not like amazing, but he would have been perfect in our
for Leeds now.
Yeah, perfect. So we missed a trick there.
Yeah, we did.
We're light in that area. Then Dan James gets done. If Dan James wouldn't have been done at the end of the window, it'd have been really bad, like really bad window. But, you know, Dan James now has a chance to resurrect his career under a guy that actually knows how to coach players. Like, it's true, right? Even Man United fans will say that, you know. There is a real player there.
Well, Joe, he should have gone there first time he was going to go. Exactly. Left at Ellen Road, did his medical and everything, and then he gets the Colt order. Oh, that deal didn't go through, but that next summer he goes to United, which, you know.
Yeah. How good a player would he be now, Dan James? 2.5 years?
Yeah. Under Bielsa.
Wasted. He's a top player by now.
Great point. Oscar, you make a very good point there, because it's true. And it shows that Bielsa doesn't give up on certain types of players or style of players that he's looking to coach. And that's the thing about him. He's an absolute fantastic, fantastic coach. And Dan James, you're right, because, again, watching from the outside, the guy's got sort of searing pace, you think. He's got high energy. It's probably Bielsa's very much like Klopp in terms of he likes the project-type players, doesn't he?
Well, Grizz, weigh it up. Ollie or Bielsa, chalk and cheese. It's a night and day difference, isn't it? You're learning from Bielsa or you're learning from as maths teacher back in Norway. You know, Dan James is literally regressed in those 2 years.
Who would you say, Oscar, is his best project? Like in terms of what he was and what he's become, you know, and you see that is the embodiment of Bielsa. That is what happens when you get coached by Bielsa.
It's got to be Calvin Phillips. It's got to be. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people I can come up with. I mean, Jack Harrison would have to be up there in terms of what he's become.
Oh, yeah, underrated.
I mean, me and Joe, I mean, we weren't sure we wanted him to come back. You know, after his first season, I mean, he was getting outperformed by Alioski on the wing kind of thing. So, but Calvin Phillips, I mean, I always saw a player in Calvin Phillips, not like to this extent. I always thought he could be a decent player for Leeds, but not the star man. England international. Yeah, one of the best players at the Euros, one of England's best players. You know, he's even being awarded that. You know, I didn't see that from Calvin Phillips, but it was just... I think the thing with Calvin was, it was like flicking a switch, how quick it went from like 0 to 100. Like that first game, you know, we said about Stoke, but he just turns up and he's just, I mean, he's so obvious, Calvin Phillips, but Click's got to be up there. Harris.
Yeah, Matthias Click is his biggest work for me. Maybe that's a shout.
Matthias Click, because Matthias Click was leaving, before Bielsa turned up, and he couldn't get a game for us. Yeah, and he was. I think that was part.
He was on loan. He was on loan.
Yeah, he fell out with the manager before with Christiansen, and there's a lot of different players. You know,
does the Calvin Phillips story a little bit remind you of Henderson under Klopp, Avi?
Good shout. Yeah.
What do you
Someone
think?
Who's on the maybe peripheral, maybe as a rotation player comes in.
Yeah.
He's become. I believe he's your captain as well, isn't he? He's club captain, Calvin Phillips.
No, he captains in the Carabao Cup, but Cooper's still
captain.
I think he's third in. I think Aylin's second in line, and then Calvin's probably third.
He also leaves it up to the players.
Okay. But now it's a good shout, Grizz. I think that is actually a good shout from you. That maybe in and out of the team, manager maybe unsure, but he's come a long way, and that's what it is—a little bit of teaching and just believing in the player. You know, and we've seen that with Henderson. You know, Rodgers. After the whole Fulham stuff, start believing in Henderson and he became this player, leader. And under Klopp, he's gone from strength to strength. I think the same with Calvin Phillips. So, it's one of your finest moments there, Grizz.
Take a seat, pal. I've had much better. Go on, Joe. You were saying?
On Calvin, when Bielsa came in, he went in the dressing room and just numbered them. He didn't know them by name at the time, just your number this, your number that. And he went over and told Calvin, you'll be playing DM. And he'd never, ever, ever played that in his career.
Wow, didn't know that.
And he watched footage and went in and said, you'll be playing there. Calvin, are you sure? Me? You know, the story's there. And he's like, yes. And he'd done that from footage, guys. Yeah. And then now he's, playing for England.
Genius.
Belief, yeah.
How can you do that? How can you watch that and go, yo, he shouldn't be playing there. He should be playing here, and then to come in, and we had a kid called Ronaldo Vieira. I mean, you can't get a better name.
That's Sampdoria now, isn't he? Yeah, he's going to Italy.
And everyone, I don't care. People will say different now.
They'll lie now.
But when he was sold, a lot would have rather seen Calvin be sold. Now look at him. I mean, it's amazing what he's done. And then, even last night he did an interview on ITV, and he's talking about Lewandowski, and I'm thinking. Yo, that's my Calvin, man. And he's Lewandowski. 3-4 years ago, that would have never, ever... He's going to put give over. Do you know what I mean? And this is what Bielsa's done, man. This is why when you talk about him moving on, we could get relegated there still.
Yeah.
I don't care. Bielsa, man.
If the worst comes to the worst this season, it's a bit like Wilder at Sheffield United. Yeah. But I don't think we'll get that bad.
No.
I think we've got too much quality. That sounds arrogant, but Rafinha, Bamford, I think there's enough in that final third to get us, if it does turn into a bit of a bad situation for us, I just think we've got enough quality to get ourselves.
Take him as Henderson replacement, guys?
You see, I'm going to let Avi answer it because I don't think you're going to like my answer.
I don't think you're going to like my answer either. I think he's a good player. I don't think as a Henderson replacement, no, not for me. Not for me. I think we're just maybe we've got a little bit of higher ceiling than Calvin Phillips. No disrespect. Look, tournament. Great tournament alongside Declan Rice. You know, he had a great Euros, great debut season in the Premiership. Great player. I love his stuff with his grandma and all that as well. He's a really top lad, but not for me. I don't know. I think Grizz probably thinks the same as well.
See, I think I love the story that these guys have told me about him, because obviously I didn't know about sort of, you know, the way that his role has just been put on him by Bielsa, you know, that. But and I like people that can adapt to different roles. So it shows that he's a very intelligent footballer, as well as being a fantastically fit footballer. I just find him, and I don't know, lads, you'll probably know more. I just find his passing very conservative. Now, he has got... Let me finish. Now, that could be because Henderson gets criticized for the same thing, lads. But he's got it in his armory. So maybe it's a coaching thing from Bielsa that he's the rotator of the ball.
Who played the first time pass for Jack Harrison when he did Alexander Arnold at right back?
He has got it. I know he's got it in his artillery.
He does it regularly, man.
Yeah,
I mean, I think people saying sideways and back, and I can see a few people. You're getting yourself confused with football Twitter and what got said after the England game. It's all dross. It's all dross. Calvin Phillips, his passing range is immense, guys. But you don't see him week in, week out, and people say, "Ah, he's rubbish." No, he's not. Come on.
Anyone saying he's rubbish.
I think it's specific roles that our players get. Like, look at Naby Keita this season, Grizz. The first two games, very conservative.
He didn't push through the lines.
Look, I knew
I'm going to get Joe's blood pressure high up, and that's my job, right? But look, it's true, because it could be a coaching instruction to not lose possession of the ball. He's probably got one of the highest succession rates of passing, right, in your team, like high, and that could be part and parcel of the coaching setup. We've got another super chat from Govindo who says Bielsa's about to show the difference in class compared to the Norwegian column by bringing out the best in James. Watch this space. I think, look, sometimes, and this is going to be sounding like an apologist for Liverpool's transfer window, sometimes it's very important to keep hold of your best players and assets. And I think keeping hold of Phillips and Rafinha was very, very crucial for you guys. Oscar, the news this week is that along with your Rafinha, our boys, the Brazilian lads, are supposed to be not allowed to play. What a shambles, right?
Yeah, shambles. I mean, it just sums up. I mean, I know it's not just Brazil, but it's just like the whole way that Brazilian FA is being run, and that, like, you know, in fact, the fact they take players off in the middle of the game, it just seems so, I don't know, petty to me. Yeah, the whole situation. That's the only way I can sum it up. I mean, what are these South American teams actually gaining from this? You know, in terms of not allowing them to play, you know, how's that benefiting them? I mean, say if you're Rafinha, and you'd be not being allowed to play against Liverpool, against someone like Andy Robertson, you know, in terms of one of the best left backs in the world. He wants to test, you know, Rafinha's mentality is to test himself against the very best. He wants to play. He wants that challenge against Robertson. He wants that challenge against the Van Dijk. If he's then coming back in October when the next international break is, in his head, he's going to be thinking, hang on a minute. Why did you stop me playing in that game? Yeah, well, it is, but it's true. It's, you know, it's as Alisson.
It doesn't. It can backfire on the nations, as you said. You know, it can put off the player. Some players will be very, very annoyed at the fact that they're not being allowed to, sort of, as you said, test themselves against, you know, some of the best players around right now. And they haven't done anything wrong, lads. Like, that's the worst part of it.
I think as well. It's jobs for the boys, mates, rates and all that, by saying to Richarlison, don't worry, you can play, mate. That's a joke. You can't bend the rules to however you want it. If you're going to ban us all. It's still not right, but ban us all.
Yeah.
Don't be saying you're all right, mate, because you came to the Olympics. It's BS, man. It's craziness.
I mean, Alisson's obviously not going to play unless they change this stupid rule. Kelleher comes in. If Kelleher makes a mistake against us and we win the game 1-0, that could be like, and we know how tight that tout race is going to be.
Yeah, spot on.
It's not an exaggeration to say it could decide. It could be that tight. Mm. You know, if Liverpool don't have Fabinho, don't have Alisson, and drop points in this or drop points in the Champions League. It genuinely, I think it's going to be that tight, the title race. I think it'll be 1-2 points max in it. It'll be a bit like you and City a couple of years ago when it's just going to be like that all season. And it's going to be between two or three teams. It could genuinely decide the title.
Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think there will be a resolution. I think I can't see it being upheld. I hope it won't be. I think it will be sorted. I think Alisson and Fabinho will be allowed to play for us, and Rafinha for you guys. If not, who's worse off, Avi, in your opinion? Because Rafinha is, apart from Calvin Phillips, the other world class player, you'd say, in that lead setup. But then we miss out.
Would you call Rafinha world class? Wait a minute. Would you call Rafinha world class yet?
Well, we'll get on to Rafinha as well, right? But who would it affect more, do you think? Fabinho, Alisson for us, or Rafinha for them? Who would be worse off?
I think last season proved that Alisson, Kelleher can come in, Grizz, and do an able job. And expected that Van Dijk has shrugged off that little minor knock, and then he'll have Matip alongside him, who I don't believe went away with Cameroon. So he's had a week or so off. So I'm not worried there. Fabinho, yeah. But we always know with Fabinho, he's a bit of a slow starter coming into the season. So I'm happy with Henderson to drop back. And then your two midfielders, which you presume Thiago is ready now to start. And then you see maybe Naby coming in, or because Harvey Elliott's back as well.
Don't name the team right now.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry.
As usual.
So yeah. I feel that Henderson, I think we've got, dare I say, able cover for Alisson and Fabinho. So I think we'll be fine. Rafinha, though, yeah, I think he would have fancied himself against, I think Simakas starts, Grizz. I think Simakas starts, and I think Rafinha, the way he is, the confidence that he's shown, I think he was, I think he was Leeds' best player at Old Trafford. I know you got mauled, but I thought he was the best player on the pitch that day. And I think his goal against Everton, wasn't it? That screamer from the right. Yeah, brilliant finish. So I think he will fancy himself against Simakas. And I think he'll, even if Robertson does get the nod, I think he'll fancy himself against Robertson.
Kev O'Sullivan says James comes in for, this is obviously assuming none of the Brazilians get to play. Joel, James comes in for Rafinha? Or no. Do you think, go on, tell us.
I'm worried. I can't lie. Because we've been speaking about Bielsa, good and bad things, as we know. You have to hit certain running numbers. You have to have a certain percentage of body fat. James hasn't even trained with Leeds United yet, and it's Thursday. I can't see it. Any other manager, and for us, we would say, do you know what, Trent can get caught up high up the pitch. Who better than to put James on the left, get him in behind it, be perfect. Bielsa won't do it. The only other option, I'd be very surprised, listen, but Somerville, still not played his debut. He's from the under-23. He's very, very exciting prospect, but still not made his debut. So I'm not sure on that. We were speaking about earlier, it wouldn't surprise me if he puts Dallas on the wing, and then,
So go on then. Try to pick us your Leeds team that you think will start then, because it sounds like there's a few selection dilemmas there for him. Between you two.
It's Squepa. Yeah. So goalie.
Pick us your Leeds team so I can email Klopp.
Yeah.
So we've got Ayling right back. Yeah. We think Firpo will be fit. Firpo's fit.
Because he's just back from COVID. I mean, if he's not fully fit, then we have got real issues. Firpo, you'll have Strauch and Llorente and
Llorente will start. Yeah. Bernabe, one of the left footers next to him.
Let's go Llorente and Cooper.
Yeah.
Carl, so strike on the bench then.
Let him finish.
You may be wrong because
I think it will. I think he will go just because it's that Liverpool.
Yeah,
the fact he's going to Jota. I think he might go for Cooper.
A lot of Leeds fans want Strauch in there. Don't get me wrong, but Cooper's captain. He's captain for a reason. We need that organisation. I think he'll go with Cooper, but I may be wrong.
Then Calvin holding. Yeah.
And then
this is it. This happens here.
So I think it'll be Harrison left, Dallas right.
Maybe. Yeah, I agree.
And then I think in the centre will be Click and Rodrigo.
Yeah.
And then Bamford up top.
Is that the 4-1-4-1 system that he's gone with? Because that's what I'm hearing, that he's gone with an inverted sort of, he's played Rafinha, Rodrigo, and that sort of in behind Bamford. And then he's gone with, I've got James, but Harrison on the other side.
Harrison left.
Left, be, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rodrigo, Rafinha.
Yeah. I think it'll be Dallas, bro.
That's an attacking lineup. That's a very attacking.
He goes 4-1-4-1.
Yeah.
However, when we come up against two attackers, he likes to have more bodies, extra bodies. So he'll then go 3-3-1-3.
Because we did that against
Burnley.
We'll play Everton. Is that Everton? Kind of,
You guys must take your laptops and everything. This is amazing. I love this shit, Joe. I love this shit.
There's certain games where you're like, who the feck's playing where? Yeah. Are you? Like, do you know what I mean?
This is what's fascinating about the man. Yeah. He's not normal. He's not your everyday coach. Like, look at the setup and look at the way you've told us how you're going to set up. And you've tried your best to explaining it, but I still can't picture it and how they it's true though, and how they function. It's amazing.
Against Everton, we're chasing the game. We brought in Junior Firpo for his crossing, his delivery, and what he can do going forward, more than his probably defensively. Yeah. We take Firpo off. We bring it on Jamie Shackleton, a kid at 2-1 down against Everton. Everton have had a couple of chances to make it 3-1, and they kind of put Shackleton right wing back. Dallas is kind of playing everywhere. He looks like he's playing.
Fear. He's fearless, isn't he?
He's everywhere. He's playing like.
I think Jamie Shackleton's a centre mid, and he plays him at right wing back. Yeah, so
it's just like, but it works. It got us back into the game, and then.
Just another question. We're talking about the under-23s. I'm sorry, Grizz. I'm talking a lot of airtime today, so I apologize. But I love talking about Leeds and whatnot.
The Avi loves Bielsa. Yeah.
No, I do. I'm a big fan of Bielsa. But Joe Gelhardt, we know that he was at Liverpool, but he's gone to Leeds. He's been on the bench, hasn't he, recently?
Yeah.
So is he going to break through this season? Or
I hope so. He had his debut for the England under-20s and got himself 2 goals the other day. They're talking like next Rooney and all this kind of vibe. Yeah. There's a lot to be said about Joe Gelhardt, and I can't wait, man. But
I just don't think it's gonna happen. No, I think
very highly rated,
when he breaks onto the scene, it's gonna be. We've got a few: Sam Greenwood, Somerville, Gelhardt, Bate, Miller, Creswell. Don't sleep on Creswell. Creswell's been wanted by Charlie Creswell. He's been wanted by City for a very long time. But he loves it at Leeds United. He's just been called up to the England under-21s.
He's 18.
He's never played a first team game, and he's already in there. So
he's 18, but he's built like someone about 10 years old. Like you look at him, in terms of build. It's similar to like Maguire kind of build when you look at him in that football game. He's like you're thinking he's only 18. He's absolutely and he's bullying their centre.
It's Richard Creswell's son.
Yeah, he's unreal. Yeah. He's unreal.
Talking about players that are wanted and sort of other teams would love to have him. Someone says, how rude of me. Him. He says, Rafinha potential to be Jota levels and better than what we have on the bench for sure. Now, I think we know that we inquired about Rafinha and we were quoted like 60 million. And we obviously balked at that price. Would you take Rafinha if he became available next season in that range? Talk to us about Rafinha and how you think he would fit into this Liverpool team.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
You can close your ears this part, Joe, if you want.
Without a shadow of a doubt, he's a quality player. He came from Rennes, didn't he? From France, didn't he? Came from Rennes. I think same time as Rodrigo, but he's the one who's just sort of flourished, Rafinha. And he just has no fear. He takes a player on. He can go from the outside. He can come in on the inside, cut in. Got a great left foot, Grizz. He can play on the right. I think he can play on the left as well. Versatile. He's got a good engine on him, pace. If he was available for 16 million, I would have paid it this summer. Because God knows how much he'll be worth. I think he'll do better numbers this season. I think he can easily score 10 to 15 in that Leeds team. He can notch up 10 to 15 assists as well. And what price are you paying next summer? You know, you're paying 80 tops. He's a quality player. And he's 24, I believe, Oscar? Yeah, 24, 25?
24.
So he's on that cusp of just like going that next level. And you're talking, you know, Neto was available before the injury. They were talking about 70, 80 million. So, you know, you think why wouldn't we have taking a chance last summer, but maybe Leeds don't need to sell. I think they've got very good owners right now who are stable and they don't need to sell. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he does this season.
Is that the case, Joe? And I'll scout in terms of your finances. What is your situation financially?
There's rumours we're going to go for it next summer. That's the big thing. Like, I mean, you guys have been fed that.
We hear that a lot.
We used to get that a lot. But to be fair, this ownership has... There's been the odd disappointment. This summer's maybe been a bit of one, but they do tend to deliver. Yeah. They always said,
if an opportunity... Look, we're done. But if an opportunity arises, we will take it. Dan James, perfect. I think, though,
that if we finish in a similar position, which I think we will, this season might even finish a little bit lower. I think it's going to be difficult to keep Calvin, Rafinha, Melier. I'd probably put into that bracket. I think one of them goes.
I do think it is Raf.
Most likely, isn't it? I think KP is going to be the one I think we're going to keep for the longest. Yeah. And then Melier...
Still too young for me.
Yeah, I think... PSG are the ones that may be looking at him when...
They already inquired about him, PSG. People think he's a poor goalkeeper, and I don't understand it, but I get it. Like, you see snippets. If it's not your club, you only see snippets, don't you?
Did you see him against Faroe Islands?
Yeah, it was bad.
They had no shots on target.
Shall I tell you who reminds me of, guys? He reminds me of Hugo Lloris in terms of he's very comfortable with the ball at his feet. Like, only you guys will know how good he is with his feet because you see him on a regular basis. But that's the standout feature for me. He's so brilliant with the ball. But sometimes, and because he's young, and because he's playing for, no disrespect, lads, but he's not playing for the best set of centre-backs all the time, right? So he's not playing in front of Virgil, for example, and Matip. That confidence on the ball sometimes gets the better of him, because he has had some howlers, hasn't he, lads? Let's be he's a phenomenal shot stopper as well, but he has got that howler, and I think he'll just get better with maturity and experience, right?
I mean, there was only the one for Arsenal.
I think Tottenham. Yeah. I think he had a bit of a. It's not
what's always big many. For me, right? He broke the record for the youngest goalkeeper to have the most clean sheets under the age of 21, right, last season. The person before that was Joe Hart. Now, like you've just mentioned, Grizz, Joe Hart had an amazing back four in front of him at Manchester City.
Yeah.
So can you imagine Melier in a Man City side? He'd have doubled the numbers, is what I'm saying. So for him to do what he did at such a young age, breakout season, Premier League, the world's his oyster for me, but I get why some people... Look, Chelsea tried to sign him from FC Lorient, but they came too late in the window. This was a couple of seasons ago. He came through at that club and said, I want to play first team football for them first before I move anywhere. And then PSG were inquiring, because I remember saying it and people laughing at me going, they've just signed Donnarumma. Yeah, they're not bringing him in as a number one. Building
him up, yeah, for the future, absolutely.
But why would you leave Leeds to go be a number two? It doesn't make sense. If you're going to move, you're going to go move to be a number one elsewhere, aren't you? But the club have already said, guys, Leicester model, that's what we're following. I look at it, I think Calvin's our Kante, Rafinha's our Mahrez, okay, Melier's our Maguire. Not similar prices,
but... You see it. You know,
yeah.
No, there's absolutely... Look, I personally think you keep a hold of Calvin Phillips and the keeper. Ailing, I can't see going anywhere as well. I think Rafinha is the one that's probably going to be your marquee sale kind of... Do you know what I mean? To bring back...
17 million.
He's the sexy player of it, you know, in terms of he's the one who creates, he's the one that can score a world. He's the one...
Yeah.
For me, with Rafinha, and it might be a bit of a hot topic of debate this, I think Rafinha can really step it up. I think last season, he was superb last season. I mean, I think he got 6 goals, 10 assists, something like that. I think he needs to score more goals. I think
it's Oscar, I was going to say, I was hoping someone else say that for me. I genuinely think for the price that he was quoted, I think Liverpool like to see more numbers because our scouts are all about numbers. Right, and I think we wanted to see, or we'd like to see more numbers. I think if he improves on the numbers, actual output, like you says, Oscar, I think then definitely a big team like ourselves will come back for him. And I think he'll struggle to keep hold of him next season. But again, I think it's a crucial season for him. I do, look, I rate him. People often, Liverpool fans, because I've had this to and fro with Avi as well. I want to see him more. Not in terms of I don't think he's good enough. I just think he needs to improve. I want to see him go up that level. Like you've just said, and you're an avid Leeds fan, you see him week in, week out. Even you're saying he can do more. He can score and create more. Do you know what I mean? So hopefully this is he improves on this season and we snap him up next season. But we'll
say about him is that, you know, say if, I don't know, you put him into the Man City team ahead of Mahrez or Sterling, I think he would do similar numbers to both of them. I think in that team, I think, you know, in terms of, not saying that we've not got a good team, but I just think he...
You miss a lot of chances. I know what you mean. Leeds do miss a lot of chances.
Yeah, it goes without saying that.
Yeah, if he's playing different players in that lot, I've accepted that we're probably only going to have one more year of him. Maybe we might get a second. If we have a good season this season.
It all depends where we end up this season. Yeah. If we're bottom half, he's gone.
If we can just get at least another season out of him, maybe add another 10, then 15 again, mil.
If we're bottom half and the club say, look, we're going to sign this, this and this, then he might stay. I mean, Bielsa's still there, but we'll have to...
absolutely.
We've got Valentine in Yarmouth, high fan from Nigeria. Welcome. My question is, looking at this Liverpool team, are they title contenders? And what do you think about Mane's form? Avi, you're just the man to speak about Mane's form. Go on, tell us about Mane's form and what you think, and then we will get into some predictions, because, boy, time flies when you're enjoying it. We've gone over an hour already, lads.
Yeah, look, I got pelted, Grizz, when we did a transfer show on... March, April time about what we think will happen the future summer, and I said I think this summer is the best chance to sort of get rid of sort of Sadio Mane and get that sort of new sort of signing in, you know, the going into the new season, the succession planning as such, as some claimed. I've still yet to see that, Grizz. I put a video up yesterday where there was a clip of him in the Champions League final against Spurs, and he had that zip, that acceleration to get away from defenders. We've not seen that for a long time. Maybe the long COVID or just the lack of form. Age catches up, system catches up. Maybe, you know, he's been here for 4 or 5 years. You know, there's so much that your body can keep, you know, going on, and the energy levels and whatnot. So, look, I hope he gets it back. He is one of my favorite players, but I'm still unsure about Mane's form. Title contenders, 100%. We keep the first 11 relatively fit. And, you know, one or two injuries is fine. But, yeah, I think we are title contenders. And it will be, again, Sunday's a big test. Ellen Road, a full crowd. If we win, it's a huge test for us. And if we win and come away unscathed, then, you know, of course we're title contenders. We're title contenders now. But, you know, people are just writing us off because of the lack of depth and stuff. And look, they have every right to be. You know, that's their opinion. And it's the right opinion too. We are maybe one or two players short. But if we keep the first 11 fit throughout the season, then we'll definitely be there or thereabouts.
Leeds lads, are we Liverpool, I'm talking about. Are we, not me and Avi, because we're title contenders, we know that. But is Liverpool title contenders in your eyes? How do you rate us? How do you look at us this season?
100%. You got like Van Dijk at the back, you know what I mean? Look at the spine of the team.
The big dog's back.
The only issue with Liverpool compared to like Chelsea, Man United, Man City is just the depth for me. I still think Alisson, Van Dijk, Fabinho.
Well, I'll tell you what, sorry to interrupt. Let's pick that team then. Go on, Avi.
You alright, Chris? It's that CBD stuff, Chris. You not overdosed yourself, Avi.
I need that CBD stuff, sorry. Go on, Avi, pick our team.
I think the Brazilian stuff gets cleared. I think it will be Alisson. I think our right back, obviously Trent, Van Dijk, Matip, Simakas, I believe, will start on left back, because Robertson did play for Scotland twice, I think. Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, and I'm going with Salah, Jota, and Mane.
Now that's quite impressive, right, lads? Like reading those names off to you guys, like you'd think, fuck, you know, we've got to play these guys. We've got to put in some hell of a performance to beat this team.
This is the thing, Grizz. Like for me, when I was watching, like you guys on 90 Minute, Big Six, all these other shows, because Liverpool didn't do any business. Like, they were getting so much shade thrown at them, but I felt like, let's not forget, like, before the season started last season, everyone was saying, yo, Liverpool, a different gravy. And it's still the same side. Yes, the others have improved, and I know you could have done more, but if you keep that first 11 fit, then you're still there for me. I still think, I don't think you'll finish worse than third. And that's still big if you consider what that team's done in the transfer window. And then obviously City are City and Chelsea look different level, which is also painful. But I still think you'll finish above Manchester United.
It'll be those three. I think it'll be.
I think I agree with absolutely. Oscar was right when he said that there literally will be few points in it. Yeah. You can't decide. Like every week, my mind changes. Like who the favourites are.
It's that close. Saying Man United next week. I'm not sure if you are, but say if you were, I would back Liverpool to win the game. You know, right now, even with Ronaldo in the team, I'd still think that Klopp would get the better out of. Over a Solskjaer.
Sean Dyche has the edge over Solskjaer, man. Let's be real.
I just think, you still got your Salahs and that lot. I mean, Salah's still producing ridiculous numbers. Yeah, you know, and he's getting into his 30s, but he's the type of player, a bit like a Ronaldo and Messi, not the same level as Ronaldo and Messi, but he will continue, I think. I mean, he's got that mentality that he will continue to kick on. I still think Mane will still be a really good player, but maybe not to the same extent. But I just think Salah is just going to continue and continue and continue. Alexander Arnold, I mean, in terms of the numbers he delivers, in terms of for right backs, he's already getting like the Dani Alves comparisons and stuff like that. You know, it sums it up. What's Alexander Arnold about? 22, 23? Yeah.
23 in October.
In that when
he's not even 23 yet.
In that kind of talk.
That's insane.
How short is he? Or has he overtaken Ashley Cole's assist record already?
Oh, no. He cleared Ashley Cole. Yeah.
Think about that.
That's when you think about it. But even like Tsimikas, like you're thinking you got a choice of Robertson or Tsimikas. For me, play the first couple of games, you're thinking you can play left back for, look at like City. City was taking a heartbeat compared to what they've got at left back in a minute. They just haven't got like a really reliable left back. And you look at that and think you've got two top left backs there. And then maybe midfield, there's a criticism. Do you have enough goals in midfield? Have you replaced a Coutinho type of player? But I just think the way Klopp plays, I still think it's. I still think Liverpool title challenges. And I genuinely say, in a big game, I would still back Liverpool's front three over something like a City's. I would still a big game. I still think of Salah, Jota, Mane. I still think they can produce them big moments. And you have to wait and see. And you got people like Firmino on the bench. I just think it's crazy.
It's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's back, isn't it? It's real. Liverpool. It's back. Yeah, crowds are back. The team's
real. No, but that's what I mean. Until Van Dijk, Lukaku. Yeah. Everyone was like, I can't wait for this, So it's good.
It's true. Obviously, our fan base is mental. Like, we've had so much negativity. Has your, sort of fan base feeling right now? Because you've had a quiet summer as well, but yet there's so much to look forward to.
Yeah. There's still a lot of
half and half, isn't it, really?
But then again, I take Twitter. Sometimes I forget Twitter.
It's not real.
It's a real small minority.
It's not real.
And sometimes you can get pulled in it. Everyone's unhappy. But it's about that much of a massive part of the fan base. So, I think if we lose, and we're expected to lose, that's what I mean. I'm like, relax, we're expected to lose. But everyone will be like, we're doomed, Matt. We've got Newcastle. And if we don't win against Newcastle, then it's just, we need that first win so everyone can calm down a little bit.
Well, listen, our chat's been fantastic. Hope that first win doesn't come on Sunday. But I hope you win the next five. You know, that's how it works. And that's all we're talking about. Just quickly, a quick prediction then, guys. Start off with you, Joe. Prediction for the game on Sunday. Go on, I want to hear this.
I always have to back my boys. I always have to. I always will. It's going to be tough. It's all on that lineup, guys. If Dallas and that starting on the wing, I'm like, rah. But I'm saying 2-1 Leeds United.
Oscar?
You had to go with me last time.
You've got to
say it with your chest.
No.
He's got to say it with your chest.
Say something positive because you're going to batter you in that bedroom. If you ain't capable, mate. Let me tell you.
Honestly.
You're going to get the whip out. I was like,
if Rafinha's available, because obviously, Abby, you said that you think we'll come to an agreement on it. And still, there's 2 days, isn't there? 2.5 days until that game. So we can get something sorted out. I think that benefits Leeds more than it does Liverpool in terms of. I know Alisson and Fabinho are outstanding, but in terms of for us, having Rafinha in just pins back Robertson and Tsimikas a little bit, I think, going forward. So I'll give us a. I think we'll get a point if Rafinha is available, but if Dallas is on the wing, it's going to be a. I love Stuart Dallas, but it's going to be a totally different. He's basically going
to just saying, really, we're getting beat.
No, Rafinha will play. We'll draw 1-1.
No, Rafinha will play, so that means a draw, right?
Yeah, we'll get. He's that important.
All right, you lot, won a mad prediction. Listen to this one. Go on, Avi.
No. Full crowd. I think Klopp will be up for it as well. I think the team will be up for it. I think we're winning 3-0, Grizz.
3-0.
Yeah.
Way to Leeds. I tell you what, that'll be some marker set down for the rest of the contenders for the title, because I think it's going to be, I really genuinely think it's going to be probably the most entertaining game of the weekend, bar none. I think it's going to be a packed house. What's your capacity these days, lads?
38.
It's going to be, you know, I wish I could have gone this weekend. I've not managed to get a ticket this weekend. My contacts have let me down. But it's been, I think it's going to be fantastic this weekend. And look, may the best team win. I think we've covered both lineups. I think we've covered most of the topics. It's been a great chat, lads. Really, really want to thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
It's fucking flown by, lads. 1 hour, 15 minutes. Sorry, man. But tell everyone where they can find you, lads, where they can get more of sensible Leeds chat from you guys.
Do you want to go first?
Well, you can find us on all Leeds TV, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I won't mention the TikTok this time. Last time I mentioned TikTok, you
what even is that?
Don't get me started on TikTok.
We've just about got Grizz into the 21st century with Instagram, so please, Oscar, do not mention TikTok, because he's going to have me up all hours YouTube saying, I want a TikTok account created. Yeah,
interesting.
We do like pre-match, post-match, watch-alongs when we're there, vlogs, bit of everything. Nice. Check out Joe as well.
Yeah. Formerly, all these.
Brought you in well.
Yeah,
man.
You did. It was a good segue. I'm on the Just Joe football show. It's heavily Leeds related, but I do watch-alongs and stuff of other games. We have a load of other shows. I just want to say as well, Henry's Big Con. I see you in the chat. You've been throwing shade at Leeds United all night, right? So I specifically would like you to come over when you get beat on the weekend, right? Just so I can, you know, it's all good. It's all banter.
Has he really?
He said they were championship players and all this. So, Henry, I see you. Make sure you say that with your chest when we beat you on Sunday.
Buddy. Do you know what? I've got a Leeds fella that's been on my case all night as well. I wanna try to find him, but I've ignored him. I should have asked him to sort of chat to me more as well. But he's been telling me, oh, you don't know nothing about Leeds, and so I think he's one of your cousins. But look, I think people are asking what I'm thinking. I'm going to wait before I give my prediction. I'll probably
tweet. He's going to wait after full time.
Yeah. What I usually do on the different shows, I give different predictions. So I give the right one. So when you get the right one, you clip that one up. But lads, amazing. It's been brilliant, brilliant. Thank you for all the people in the chat. The chat's been popping as usual, man. You're all mad. We love you. Thank you for the support. It's been another fantastic show. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Anything CBD. Go and check out www.elitemi.com. Have you guys put your website in the link description for you guys for the fundraising?
Yeah, it was right at the start. Yeah, if you could do that for us.
There you go. Take a note of that, people. Yeah. And, you know, every donation helps. Any donation helps. Thank you very much for that. Avi, my man, all good?
All good, yeah. We've got tomorrow, just a quick one, Sports Unplugged at 10 p.m. We're going to be talking about the season opener, which starts in 2-3 hours out here in the NFL. So I think it's Tampa Bay against, I want to get this wrong, they're playing the Dallas Cowboys. And then we're talking about Leeds and Liverpool tomorrow as well, just a brief touch upon it. I'm hoping to get Paddy Pimblett on for literally 15, 20 minutes. He's in Cornwall right now, but he has said, look, I'm going to try to get my best on a stream on a mobile. So he'll be coming on. Got Chris Brack and Conroy, who are LFC Day Trippers regulars. But yeah, it's been a good week, and good luck for Sunday. Boys, may the best team win, you know, and that's it from me, Grizz.
Absolutely brilliant. Lads, people, gentlemen, ladies, everyone, don't forget to like and subscribe on your way out if you haven't subscribed already. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week for another episode of Carnage. Thank you very much. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.